Welcome to another episode of the Active Texan Podcast, where you can be inspired by the stories of active people from the great state of Texas and beyond. We also chat with people who can help keep you active, like our sponsor, College Station Physical Therapy and Performance. CSPT is a performance PT clinic who helps active people recover from injury, return to their active lifestyle, and reach their highest level of performance. Learn more about how CSPT can help you get back to doing what you love at collegestationpt.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Active Texan Podcast. I'm Dr. Brian Watts, your host. And today we have a special guest, Brad Didier, with us. What's up, Brad?
Not much, man. How are you today?
And I'm happy to say that I said his last name correct.
Yeah, on point.
Well, I had to ask him first, but it's D-I-D-I-E-R, and he's from Baton Rouge, so there's a little bit of French Cajun in there.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so I got to meet Brad at our first swim practice, or maybe our second swim practice that we had for the Active Texan Triathlon, and that's part of like the whole experience we wanted to have with the Active Texan was we wanted to get people together before the race and actually have people come to the venue and check it out because it's a pretty cool place to have a triathlon, in my opinion, and to be able to get in the water where you're about to be swimming. For some people, that's a huge deal. So it was good. We had, I don't know, 15, 20 people out there, and that's where I first got to meet Brad, and he signed up for the Active Texan, and I think he enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was an amazing experience. The venue itself was fantastic, kind of pristine. The road surfaces, the terrain, everything was pretty pristine with the venue itself. And then the sprint distance itself is enough to be able to get done in a good amount of time. So the training was there. It was just a great experience all the way around.
So how many triathlons had you done before this one?
Well, I started back in 2010 with just sprint distance. So I'm not sure exactly how many in total since 2010. But I really got serious with it during COVID in 2020. So not sure again how many I've done since then either. But that's when everything.
It must be a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. Again, going back to the COVID area is when I really took it up to the half Ironman distance. And that's a whole nother story in itself, but yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, one of the reasons we wanted to have you on here is to tell us a little bit about your story of how you got to where you are now. And you can kind of share with everybody, you know, as much as you want to share, and especially maybe the last 20 years. Because I think you got a big landmark coming up here, right?
Yes, sir. Sure do. In December the 8th, I will celebrate 20 years clean and sober. So it's certainly been a journey. It's really been a blessing to be able to live, you know, really two different lives in one lifetime. Mm-hmm. Like I said, it's such an amazing journey. And sometimes I think about it, I'm not sure if I think it's went by in a flash or I think it's been creeping along, but it's an amazing journey in and of itself. So I was introduced to the sport of triathlon in 2010 from my wife. I've always been a weight room, you know, football guy, and she was into endurance sports. And, you know, when we started dating, she was always gone every weekend running a 5K or doing a tri or, racing a road bike or whatever, you know, and I had no idea about those sports at all. So we started dating and I started going around with her to those events and got introduced to endurance sports. And I remember being at a tri supporting her and thinking to myself, looking at everybody competing, the different age athletes, the different level athletes, the different shape athletes. And it popped into my head one time, like, I wonder if I could do that. And that's kind of where it all started for me.
That was about 13 years ago, right? So you said 20.
Yes.
And yep. So, you know, what about like this? I mean, you said you were a football guy. So, like, I mean, when you were growing up playing sports as a younger kid? And I mean, where all did that take you before?
It took me, like I said, that's what I've been, known as long as I've been around, since Little League football, Pop Warner football, All-Star, baseball, travel baseball, you know, all through growing up in middle school and high school. And then even a year of JUCO, football out in California, right when I graduated, high school in 91. So, again, kind of going back to the two lives in one lifetime, when I got kind of off the beam, so to speak, and started in on the not so good life at that time. All of my sports and athletic, dreams and goals were really pushed to the side, for that old life and old lifestyle. So, to be able to have it come back around full circle, I have such a deep appreciation for the ability to compete these days. It just means a whole lot these days, being everything that I've been through, and at a period of time in my life, I was not competing in endurance sports or any sports for that matter. So that's kind of really why it means so much to me these days.
And so it sounds like you've always kind of had that competitive ability, that competitive itch, where you're playing sports, whether it's mainly football and baseball, it sounds like, and grew up in Baton Rouge, right?
Mm-hmm. I did.
Football is a big deal in that part of Louisiana, a really big deal from what I hear. I have a friend who is about my age, is a few years younger than you, and he played football his whole life, loved it in that area. So you had that competitive like itch and that connection like with sports, and then you have this section or time of your life where all that got pushed aside, and you know, bad things happened probably, and then you came back, and you know, talk me through like kind of what got you back to that, because like you said, full circle. I think there a lot of this could have to do with like the connection you have with that competition, whether it's with yourself or with the community that you're building as a part of. As a football team, you're with your team. As baseball, you're with your team. Endurance athletes, yeah, they're individual, but you've got a community that you're kind of built around. So how did that tie into like getting out of your life that you were trying to escape and kind of bring you back full circle?
Yeah, like I said, my new life or my second life got started in 03, when I was 30. Is when I started my journey into sobriety. And that seed had always been there, that competitive seed, mm-hmm. that community seed. And like I said, to have it pushed aside for so many years, I believe that it was still down there. It was just never being, you know, watered, so to speak, over that period of time in my life. So when I got my life back together, and got some things in order and had the ability to compete again, that seed was there. And, it was just a question of how far I was going to take it. And, you know, along the journey, I'm always seeking to find a better version of myself and to push myself and to challenge myself, in recovery, in my job, in my family, whatever it is I'm doing, I'm always seeking to be better than I was before. That's certainly a big part of my journey into recovery. I never want to think I'm out of the woods, or I never want to think I'm over the hump or over the thing or whatever any of that is. You know, I've heard other people's experience. And whenever they kind of let up on life is when, you know, some slips and some things like that can happen. So, in order to stay on guard, competing and walking through some raw emotions and some anxiety and some butterflies and everything, those are all good things for me, in this way of life. It really does allow me to continue to find out who the best version of me is, and always be the opposite of who I let myself become back in the day. So mm-hmm. It all just really goes in hand for me. And then trying to trying to find the balance, of course, between life and career and athlete and all of that is something that I take, I don't take for granted. And most of the time I try to have a real good time with it all.
Yeah. And so right now that's what you're trying to balance is your, I mean, you've got your career, which actually you're working closely with people that, you know, were where you were before. And then, which you can talk about that a little bit. And then also, I mean, you've got your family and then, I mean, yourself, you want to take care of yourself in a way of being healthy and fit and exercising. And you've, you know, you do need to find a balance and all of that because all of those require your time. And so, how do you balance, you know, that now with work life and yourself, sports?
Yeah, a big part for me is just having some real clear, open communication with everybody involved. I think for me, the more open dialogue and the more free flowing communication going back and forth with everybody involved is a way that I show how to be considerate of everyone else. And so open communication allows us to feel each other's schedule out. And from a day to day with a kiddo being in softball and a kiddo being at school and all the school activities and the wife and communication is a big part of it. You know, they kind of know me by now that it's not a question of if I'm going to train or not. They just want to know what kind of training I'm doing. You know, are you swimming, biking, or running today? And then the communication allows us to move that around in the day to where it's beneficial for everybody. You know, the conditioning and the fitness and everything really is, for me, it's about mind, body, and spirit all wrapped up in one. I kind of get emotional talking about it because there was such a long time in my life that was absent, you know, and I remember what that was like. And it's really my way of demonstrating to my higher power or to my God, how much I appreciate this second chance at getting, to do this life. You know, what he did for me and giving me a second shot is what he did for me. And what I'm going to do with it is my gesture back to him. And I just don't want to be lukewarm, and I just don't want to be taking things for granted, and I don't want to kind of be getting by. I really want to demonstrate on a daily basis how much I appreciate what's been done for me, and it's my way, again, mind, body, and spirit, to demonstrate that to my higher power. And you know, so anyway, communication is key for sure. And then you know, being having integrity and doing what I say I'm going to do and showing up when I'm supposed to show up and doing what I'm not allowed, but in the allowed time slot of the day, you know, rain, sleet, shine, snow, whatever it is. If I'm given a certain sliver of the day to do my thing, then I need to show up and do that on a regular, consistent basis. It's about respect and integrity, and it all just kind of goes in hand for me.
Yeah. And what was your first, you know, it's kind of taking you back to whenever you started to notice, like, okay, maybe I could do some of these things that I'm watching, that you're watching your wife do, or like the people that she's doing it with. And what really made you make that decision? Cause it sounds like, I mean, if you say you're going to do something, you're going to do it. Like, you're the kind of person that you're not going to say you're going to do it if you're not going to do it. So what made you like complete? Okay. Yeah. I like football. I mean, and then now maybe I'm like, did you just start running and start riding and start like how, yeah, you can see people do it. I thought the same thing. I saw it happen. And when I was in, it was probably about the same time around 2010 that I saw someone do a triathlon, or I was an athletic trainer at the event. And I was like, I think I could do this. But then it was like years later that I actually did it. So like, how did that actually like come to fruition where, okay, I can be an endurance athlete. And then why do you do it?
Yeah. To be honest, the first thing really was to continue to be able to date my wife. You know, I really wanted to spend more time with her at first, and she pretty much put it out there. She's like, look, if you're going to date me, you're probably going to need a bike. And I was like, well, that's kind of messed up, I think. But anyway, I think I want to get a bike. You know what I mean? So, you know, just being totally honest, it was a little bit about that in the beginning. And then, you know, the challenge of it, the unknown of it, was so intriguing, you know, and I knew that putting myself in those situations again was the opposite of the person that that I had become, where, you know, there was a period of my life where I pretty much ran from challenge and difficulty and difficult situations. So to have the opportunity to put myself in challenging, unknown, adverse situations on purpose, I knew that somewhere in there was going to be some growth for me. And anytime I'm growing and moving in a good direction, I'm okay. I kind of want to see what that's all about. So that's why, if you want to talk about why I continue, I'm always striving to be a little bit better than I was yesterday, and definitely striving to be different than the man I was 20 years ago. And so that takes walking through some things, you know. Any opportunity that I get to put myself into those conditions again on purpose and come out of the other side with a little self-respect and integrity and confidence, those are all good things for me along my journey. So that's why I continue to go and put myself out there like that, because of the challenge, because of the unknown, because of the butterflies and the having to walk through some difficult things. Mm-hmm. I turned away from that style of life for so long. And that's not a good place for me. So again, anytime I get to do that and gain a little fitness along the way, man, it just makes sense.
So the first one that you did, was it a sprint distance?
It was.
Or did you do a run first or something? Like, were you just ran?
We did a little neighborhood 5K from the local running club. And that was all good and everything. But the triathlon really intrigued me. And I got a bike, like I said, I got a bike first. And I really was a cyclist for years, where all I did was just ride my bike all year long. You know, I really didn't train. I didn't run train. I certainly didn't swim train. And then when it came down to race day, my game plan as far as those two disciplines of the sport was just tough through it, you know? And so my first love really was the bike. And then I did my first sprint like in 2012 in Opelousas, Louisiana.
Okay.
And that's kind of where it all started.
And at this time, were you in Louisiana, or were you, I didn't say this at the beginning, you're now in Huntsville.
Yes.
Right. And so where were you living when all this was happening?
I was finishing up my degree. I got my degree from Southeastern Louisiana in Hammond. Mm-hmm. So we were living in Baton Rouge. I got my first teaching job in 2010. We were living there when all this was unfolding.
Okay. Yeah, I've been to the basketball stadium there at Southeastern, because I went to UT Arlington. And okay. So back in 2000, I guess it was probably around 2005 or six, we were in the same conference.
And okay. So
I traveled with the basketball team everywhere. We went to we went to Thibodaux, Louisiana.
Okay, yeah.
That's way down.
Is that, that's Nichols. McNeese. No, Nichols. That's
right. Yeah, McNeese is in Lake Charles, right? Or which we went to all of those.
Yep.
And anyway, I used to live in Jackson, Mississippi as well. So okay. I-55, you know, right, not too far from Hammond. Yeah. But then when did you move to this area?
We came here in the summer of 2010 because my wife is a professor of kinesiology, and she took a kines job at Sam Houston.
Summer of what? 2000 what?
2010.
Oh, I thought you were in Louisiana.
We moved here in 2010, and we would go back and forth.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But you went and got your degree and finished that when?
In 2009 and started teaching in 2010.
Okay. Sorry, I got those dates messed up. So do you like to just do races in like in this area, this region, or do you travel all over?
I've traveled all over as far as Texas and Louisiana. I've been also up, obviously Texas, but up in the DFW area racing with the Playtri family up there and the races that they put on up there. And then I do go back home a few times a year and do some local races at LSU Eunice, LSU E. They have a nice sprint try that I do around my birthday and some runs in Baton Rouge over the Mardi Gras season. Obviously Mardi Gras and big parties and running and everything. So yeah, we go back in a few times a year.
So how did this sprint triathlon distance escalate? Did it get any bigger?
In what way? What you mean?
Have you only done a sprint distance or what's the longest you've done?
Okay, very good. Yeah, in 2020 during the COVID year or the COVID shutdown is really when I took my training and my mindset up to another level. There were a few things that happened in during that time that kind of were alignment of the stars, so to speak. It was a very strange time, obviously, in the country, everything being shut down. But for me as an athlete, it was a very transformative period of time. Everything was shut down. And Ironman launched their VR platform. And so the VR platform was live that had weekly challenges and swim challenges and digital badges and swimming and running and weekly challenges. And that I participated in the VR platform from day one. Till the last day that it was shut down. That really did a lot for me during COVID. I was not a runner or a swimmer before 2020. And that's when I decided to dedicate full time to running and swimming as well. I got my first real Garmin tracking watch, which helped me track those other activities besides cycling. So that was a big deal, being able to track those activities. And then, like I said, the platform and then being sent home for 6 months and having a whole lot of extra free time between works and Zooms and meetings. And, you know, I kind of had a feeling deep down like this is either going to go one or two ways for me, being home for 6 months next to the pantry, or being home 6 months next to an opportunity to get some extra training in, and I knew it was either going to be kind of one way or the other for me. So I really took it another way and dedicated myself to full-time run training and swim training over that time. One of the things that the VR platform offered was a virtual half Ironman distance that we could do at our home, either on the trainer, on Zwift, or at the local pool. And so I did my first half Ironman. It was a VR, but I took off work one day and lined it up with the local pool to where I could go swim and did my first half Ironman during COVID on the VR platform. It was a big deal.
So did you swim in a 25-yard pool or 25-meter?
I did.
And so you got your 1.2 miles in there, and then did you bike outside or on a trainer?
I drove home and jumped on the trainer.
Okay. And then you ran around the neighborhood?
I did.
And so you just had to basically, since it was all VR, you can take all your data from your watch and it just has to be uploaded in there. Did you count hey, this is a good question. Did you count that drive time as your T1?
Absolutely not. We were not putting T1 and T2 in the VR platform.
Okay. So, yeah. But do they know like whether or not you did it like consecutively, like right back to back to back?
Yep, they did. They did. The conditions in the time constraints on the VR were as strict as it could be, you know. So everything had to be done, you know, at consecutively and uploaded, and the way they had it lined up with the Garmin and Zwift and everything kind of auto synced. So things kind of uploaded as soon as you were done. So it would upload to, you know, the Zwift, to Garmin, and the VR platform, all in order and everything. So as those races were released, I could plan ahead 3 and 4 weeks down the road. And that's kind of where I stepped out for the first time with a bigger distance than sprint. Yep.
And so after your VR, congratulations on that, by the way, that's a big accomplishment. Yes, thank you. What did you do next?
Same thing, was just kind of doing the COVID thing and the shutdown thing and the VR thing until some live races started coming back. And I started with some sprint live races around here. They have one in the Woodlands that I do regularly. They had, again, some of the ones in Louisiana, and a couple in Katy along the way. And I started with that. And then, you know, when Ironman came back full force and live and in person, I kind of knew that I was going to have to go and experience the real thing. Mm-hmm. And it was a big step for me on a lot of different fronts. So I did my first 70.3 in Waco last year, 2022. Yep.
I think I was there. I've been there to support the last few years. I did it in 2019. So I did, Waco was my first half Ironman to complete. So I did Galveston in 2019, but it was the storm that year that came through. And I don't know if you remember hearing about this, but the finish line blew over. And so they ended the race at wherever you were. They shut it down and you could just go do it later, or like they gave us $100 discount like on our next race that we signed up for. But it's like, okay, it's over, go home. Because wow, a bad thunderstorm came through and the wind was blowing pretty hard. So anyway, I got to redeem myself with Waco, right? Yeah. I was 66 miles in to the race in Galveston. actually, I think I was a little less than that. And they started shutting it down, and then we got back to the finish line because it's three loops. Have you done Galveston?
I did Galveston this past year.
Okay, so 2023 in April. It's in April, right? Was that your second one?
Yes. Yep, my second in person.
So I wonder, did they change Waco? They didn't change it till this year, right? The course?
That's correct.
So you've done two 70.3s, the virtual, and then you did Waco first and then Galveston, which I want to hear your opinion like on those. They're very different courses, right? So what did you think about, you know, Waco, and what did you think about Galveston?
Yeah, two very different courses. You know, just right off the bat, the swim course, obviously very different, being a point to point in Waco down the river, so to speak. And then obviously in Galveston, swimming in the bay, kind of a rectangle type of swim course with a few turns to be aware of and everything. So both challenging in their own right. Waco a little more hilly as far as on the bike course and the run course going up into Cameron Park like that. But Galveston, I felt a little more exposed on the beach with the wind on the bike course, you know, going out and back, flat as a pancake, but pretty exposed on the beach right there. And then I wasn't super thrilled with the run course in Galveston, but, you know, I think that's all part of it. You know, having to navigate and work through all the different facets of a 70.3, even if you not thrilled about the course, so to speak. You still have to figure out how to make it all work on race day. So
right.
I didn't really have any big objections anywhere along the way. I just did notice that wind was can get pretty serious along the seawall on that bike course. So
yeah, definitely. I mean, you're going pretty fast going out and then turn around and hit a wall.
Absolutely.
So you really got to push more going out than you realize, because if you don't, then it doesn't really matter. If you're going to turn around and be doing the same effort coming back, so you might as well push it going out.
Which, I totally agree.
Which I didn't do that. I held back going out and turned around. I was just like, this is terrible, you know. Went from like 24 miles an hour to 15 or something. Yeah. Like that. And I got pretty, and it was my visor that I was using. I borrowed someone's helmet, and my visor started fogging up, but I didn't want to put the visor on top because I didn't want it to blow off and lose it, because it wasn't mine. And so I was looking through these two little holes like the whole time on the bike. And then when I got back to my bike after the race ended and everything blew over, there was stuff all over the place. The visor was cracked right next to my helmet. So I might as well have taken it off.
Right. Right.
Go ahead.
I remember having to take my shades off as well, just either the salt or the thickness of the air or whatever. But there became a point where I couldn't even see out of them. It was like pointless. And so I stuffed them down the front of my kit right there and rolled on, you know. But yeah. I remember the same thing.
Yeah, I think the salty air and the humidity there, it makes a huge, so that's why I think that race is cool, because it's different every time. Like, I mean, you know you're going to have the wind, but there's still little different elements that you never know exactly what it's going to be like. And then even though the run course is a little bit annoying, being so many U-turns and you're just having to accelerate, it's like doing a trail race. Like, you're constantly accelerating around curves, and not quite as bad as like a single track trail race, but that's kind of what it reminds me of. But it is, as a spectator there, it is amazing. So like, you've got all this easy to support people. You see your runner like three or four times per lap, like if you get in the right spot, and there's three laps. So from that perspective, I thought it was pretty cool. You get to see your people a lot, but there's a lot of twists and turns, and being three loops, it's like, okay, I want to be done with this. I want to go back and do it and actually complete the whole thing. I haven't gone back.
Oh, wow.
Other than to watch. I've gone back to watch like two or three times, and that's fun too.
Definitely.
But I think this year I might be doing the swim leg and a relay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
In 2024?
Yeah. Okay. 2024 in Galveston. I don't know yet. I'm saying that right now. It's going to be recorded, but
yeah.
What's up, everybody? I wanted to take a moment to tell you about our sponsor, Cleaner. They are a natural and organic product company that makes the best options for soap, deodorant, beard oil, and pomade, all made right here in the USA and all scented for nature, not in a lab. You can find all these great products at cleaner.com. That's K-L-E-N-R.com. Click on the link in the description below. And also, don't forget to use our discount code, TAT10. That's TAT10 for 10% off on all their products. I personally use these products. I love their soap, deodorant, and pomade. They are all made without harmful chemicals. So remember, it's not just what you put in your body, but what you put on your body. Go check out cleaner.com for the best soaps, deodorants, beard oils, and pomades out there today. Don't forget to use the discount code TAT10 for 10% off. And so after your 70.3s, what's the biggest thing you've done in the last year or so? I mean, what's next if you haven't done anything more than that?
Yeah, I think first of all, like I said, first and foremost, some discussions with the family to find out, you know, where everybody is with you know, their goals and plans and dreams of 2024. And like I said, it's super important for me to be considerate of everyone else and make sure that I involve everyone in in life discussions. So, you know, I would definitely want them in on that conversation. And then we'll see, you know. I've been asked lots of times, and I don't know if I'll be asked again, but, you know, is a full lever on ever on the table for me. And, you know, I always answer that question with, for me right now, it's more about the time commitment away from my family to commit to a full distance at this point in my journey. And, you know, like I said, everybody else in my family has their own thing going on that they're just as passionate about as I am about sports and competition and everything. So I think it's respectful to be to keep them in mind also in putting a full on the table and knowing what kind of time that commitment, the time commitment that is away from my family. It's not something I'm ready to talk about right now because, I know what that's going to entail. And I know what type of time commitment that's going to entail. So, going forward, we'll see what 2024 holds. I have a couple of more, road races, running races, before the end of the year. And then we'll see what 2024 has in store.
I think a better question than like that we should be asking each other is not what are we going to do, but why are we going to do what we're going to do?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Right? I mean, for sure.
It's not so much a matter of like, what is it, but why the what?
That's right. That's right. And like I said, you know, endurance sports and sports in general and having the ability to compete and for me again finding a better version of myself and challenging myself kind of helps me along the way not become comfortable or stagnant in my journey. You know, I'm 20 years into this new life and obviously my life looks so much different today than it did, you know, 20 years ago, a wife, a kid, a career, some cats, some animals, but, and you know, and I just don't want to become stagnant. I don't want to become complacent. So yeah, there's going to be some things in 2024 and that's kind of my why. And also the people in my life really deserve the best version of me. And that's how I get to express that. That's how I get to express that to the people in my life, continuing to challenge myself, continuing to push myself, continuing to walk through difficult situations and become a better man for it. I think that's what they deserve, you know, at the end of the day.
That's awesome. What's one of the craziest things that's happened to you during a race?
Well, talk about Galveston. For some reason, again, I have Waco first to compare things to, but and then for some reason, I was unable to hydrate while I was on the bike. I had plenty of fluids. I stopped at aid stations. But my experience on the bike in Waco was much different without getting too I was hydrated very, very good in Waco and taking them in and it going through and being fully hydrated. And none of that was going on the bike in Galveston. So I really didn't understand what was going on. And, you know, fast forward, get out to the run course in between mile 5 and 6, I lock up and seize up on the inside of my right leg from my knee up to my groin with a huge cramp. Yeah, I mean, completely locked up. And it was uncharted territory for me. I had no idea what was going on or how to work through it or if my day was over or any of that. And so I was able to hobble along to an aid station. And if they had 20 volunteers all standing with some kind of fluids in their cups from start to finish, I hit all 20 and drank everything, every kind of fluid that they had, just to try to get something down. Cause like I said, at no time on the bike in Galveston did I have to use the restroom or any of that. And so something wasn't right. So I got it to loosen up eventually and kind of hobble step to begin, and then was eventually I was able to pick up my pace, you know, to a respectable 10, 10 and a half type of a pace and get it done. So that was something right there to deal with.
And in Galveston, when you're hydrating on the bike, I mean, you were still drinking on the bike, right?
I was.
So, I mean, it could have had more to do with the wind. And coming back into the wind, you're not used to riding 26 or 28 miles into with a headwind, probably, right? Did you ever do that in training?
No.
So that could have done something to your legs. That's why I say that, because that's interesting. You mentioned that muscle kind of on the inner part of your thigh, because the only time I've had cramps, it wasn't during a run or anything, but like after races, I've had them, and it's in that same spot. Mm-hmm. And that's a tough spot, because it's hard to stretch that and like to rub it. It's hard to like get it to stop. One time it actually happened to me while I was driving. That's really dangerous.
Yeah, me too. I've been there.
It happened this past summer, actually. We were all, but all we did was, it wasn't after triathlon. It was after a little hike with my family. But I guess I wasn't ready for that. And, you know, my point is, like, it may not have been just hydration, but that is to experience something like that you never had before is kind of tough, because it's like, I don't, like you said, I don't know if I'm going to finish. I don't know what's going to happen. And then, but at the same time, you figured it out, right?
Definitely figured it out.
Yeah. I mean, that's why we do these things. We work through whatever is thrown at us. Cause it, I mean, you don't know what's going to happen on race. So you can plan all you want, but whenever you do a 70.3, whenever you start doing that distance, really anything over a sprint distance is, it's just, you got to get ready for some things to go wrong.
Yeah, you really do. You really do. And I think that goes back to the mindset and to be able to find out about your resilience, you know, when unexpected things come your way, you know. And I kind of take that to life in general, you know. And I don't want to be the one that shuts down shop and throws in the towel the first hint of something not going my way. I want to be the one that can get it figured out and stay true to my word and get the job done no matter what it looks like and get to the other side of it. So mm-hmm. It definitely taught me a lot about that in Galveston, that's for sure.
Do you have a favorite race that you've done?
I mean, my heart is really kind of with Waco, being that it was my first in-person, 70.3. But, you know, as far as sprint distance, I've placed pretty well at some of the ones back in Louisiana, some of the local smaller ones. So those are kind of near to my heart. And, you know, just the Louisiana vibe, you know, at the finish line, you got jambalaya and king cake, and, you know, that's kind of unique to the region. So I'm always kind of partial to that also.
Awesome. So you said you have some stuff on, you have some road races ready for this year, still the rest of this year. This is October when we're recording this. And so what about 2024? I mean, are you doing any triathlon, trail? I mean, what different types of things are you doing, different races?
Yeah, the first thing on the book for 2024 is the Houston Half Marathon. I did the Houston Half Marathon last year. In January, mid-January. So that's something that's already we're committed to. As a family, the family is going to come and they're going to do the 5K the day before, and then I'll do the 5K and the half over the weekend. And then after that, haven't had that in-depth discussion with the family to really kind of that a spring of 2024 just yet. We have to see what's out there. I was signed up to do a Olympic this summer, with the Playtri group up in the DFW area. But because of the extreme heat this summer, they canceled the entire race and moved it to mid-October. And it was actually rescheduled on the same day as the active Texan. And so I have a race deferral is what I'm getting at, to go back and do that Olympic try, back whenever the new date will come in 2024. So, being that I don't want to lose out on a race registration, you know, I know that I'll be going back and doing that one for sure. And then as far as any, Ironman branded events, we'll see. Something I failed to mention in Waco, I signed up with Team IMF, the Ironman Foundation, for Team Waco, and did fundraising and everything through IMF. And that was a great experience. So I'm always looking to make the biggest impact with what I do as far as giving back and helping others. It kind of goes, again, hand in hand with my new life that I have. You know, my new life that I have is contingent on how much I help and give back to others. That's kind of how I've kept my new life for almost 20 years now. So I'm always looking for opportunities to serve and fundraise and make the biggest impact out there. So I may be looking for some more opportunities like that in 2024 to be able to partner up and do some fundraising and stuff like that. So
it's exciting. Have you done a marathon, full marathon?
I have not.
Well, I've never run one by itself either. And I've done an Ironman, but I've never run a marathon standalone. I have done an ultra in the Grand Canyon, but that's unofficial. It's not an actual race, but.
Wow. Sounds intense.
Yeah. It's awesome. You should listen to that podcast.
Okay, cool.
So this is something I asked all my active Texan guests is, what is something you would like to try that you've never tried before? Any sport, hobby, activity?
You know, I can see, entertaining, some longer distance running, you know, a marathon, what is that, 50K, something like that. I mean, I could see entertaining that idea and prepping and putting in the time and work and dedication for something like that. So, I could see doing that. And like I said, prepping and putting the necessary work to get that done and feeling what that's like, getting on the other side of that.
That'd be awesome. Yeah. There's plenty of local or kind of area options here in and around Huntsville, College Station, Houston. There's a few good trail races here. If you ever, I don't know if you've done any of them here at the Milliken Reserve area. Have you been Milliken down there?
No.
Well, at Milliken, there's, the three or four races a year. And then there's also some that we do out in Bremond, but those trail races are fun because it changes it up a little bit and adds a new challenge. Also in the summers, we have the summer series out there every other Thursday at 7 PM. We go out there and sweat together.
Oh, wow.
Just a 5K.
Okay. Okay.
Anyway,
yeah, I had a strange experience when I tried some trail running before. And I'm not exactly sure what happened, but I'm kind of leery of getting back out on the trails. I had some pretty severe calf issues when I jumped right from the road right to the trail. And I don't know if it was because, you know, in my mind, I'm like, well, I run 10Ks on the road all the time, so I'll just go 10K on the trail right off. I mean, there's no reason not to do anything less. And I found myself with some pretty severe calf issues on both sides whenever I tried trail running my first go round. So I'm a little leery. I didn't like being on the shelf and being not being able to train for those weeks when I was doing rehab. And so I'm not sure where I'm at with the whole trail running thing. I probably did it wrong. Like I said, my mindset is kind of an all or nothing type mindset. So there's a good chance that I could have jumped out there and did too much at one time. So I'm not sure.
Yeah. Well, no, you did. The thing is, it's not the same. Like it's hard to explain necessarily. And as far as like how it feels, but you know, a 5K on a trail is like for example, like a timed 5K that I would do on a trail, if I did that on the road, I mean, it could be like 3 to 4 minute difference. That's a lot of time. That's like a minute per mile different.
Yeah.
And that's with the exact same effort, maybe more effort on the trail. So it does require a whole lot more demand from a stability aspect of your lower legs. And so that's most likely what happened, is just you try to do the same volume that you do and intensity on the road, and it's just, it doesn't work like that.
No, it does not.
Maybe if you were 20 and you tried it, it would work.
It does not work like that, I promise.
But we're not 20 anymore.
No, we are not.
No. So, I mean, anything else you want to say just about kind of your journey, just to kind of sum it up?
Yeah, I mean, also, you know, the ability, you know, my career, working inside of a max security prison every day, and, you know, having the blessing of trying to help some guys who, you know, who have gotten, you know, kind of off track in their life, the ability to go back and help those guys every day is truly a blessing. It's a very demanding environment in itself, obviously being behind the gates every day, but it's been very rewarding. I'm about to celebrate 2 years working inside of the prison trying to help those guys, and it's been very rewarding. I don't go because it's easy. I go because it is demanding and requires my full attention every day. But again, having the calling on my life to go back and help and share my journey to provide hopefully a little hope to some of those guys, some of the guys who have who in some pretty extreme situations. It's just been a great part of my journey, and again, something I don't take lightly. So it's been a pleasure for sure.
It sounds like it fits your kind of personality and your drive well, that with respect and integrity, the way you live your life and the way you do now, your new life. That, yeah. I mean, you not only want to do that for yourself, but you want to do it for others and have others experience what you've been able to experience, even though they may be there for the rest of their life. Right. I mean, but, a lot of them probably are if you're in a max security prison, but you're able to, you know, help them find what they need to find, whether that's, you know, it's probably, we all know they need to find God, right? Me and you know that. So you can help them find that.
I hope so. And they know that, you know, through sharing a little bit of my journey with them, they know that I'm qualified to speak on what I'm speaking on, and that if they really truly want to do something different with their life, then there's no reason that they can't, even given the situation that they're in. I'm a perfect representation of that. I started from scratch at 30. I started at the bottom, and I've been working hard for almost 20 years now, and I know that any situation could be turned around. And I didn't read that out of a binder. I'm here to tell them live and in person. And so I think that message holds a little more depth and weight for those guys. And I'm grateful that I get to be that representative on a daily basis, as challenging as it is, you know?
Yeah. And you can even apply that to all kinds of situations. I mean, being resilient and turning things around and not giving up, whether that's in a race or training for a race or taking care of your 10-year-old or your relationship with your wife, you know, so you can apply it pretty much anywhere.
Yeah, across the board.
Yeah, so Brad, this has been awesome. I really appreciate you sharing your story and opening up kind of what that means to you with and how triathlon has become a part of your life. Of course, you know, with the Active Texan, we talk to all kinds of different people. But being the host and being a triathlete myself, I love talking to fellow triathletes, and we just kind of get each other, and how that applies to not just like what we're doing for ourselves, but with the community. And also thank you for, you know, sharing everything like from beginning to end of your new life, of like how this, you know, how the sport of triathlon endurance has helped you. And I think that matches well, like with just, like I said, with your personality and your characteristics, your character, I mean, with, you know, kind of how you are, your morals. And it just, like you said, I think you mentioned to us that, you kind of realize you have a life beyond your wildest dreams. Like, I mean, it's more than you could ask for at this point.
Yeah, if I share this from time to time, if I was asked to write down 20 years ago my most wildest dreams of how I wanted my life to look 20 years down the road, I would not have come up with this. I would have missed this by a long shot. And that's just, being honest, you know, and yeah. It's not necessarily the material, the shiny, the blingy thing. It's what I've received on the inside, a peace, a contentment, a satisfaction, a joy, all those things on the inside. I had no idea that type of stuff was on the other side for me in my journey. And that means a whole lot more than all that materialistic and shiny and fun stuff anyway. I would have missed this life by a long shot. And it just goes to speak on how good the God that I serve is. Blesses me with much more than I deserve, just because of how good he is. And I'm just so grateful and privileged. It's a privilege to be able to come and do something like this, with you, and be invited to something like this with you, and share a little bit of my journey. It's a privilege.
That's awesome. Well, we look forward to like seeing kind of how 2024 goes, and see you at the race again next year, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Thanks.
All right. Thank you so much.
We wanted to take a moment to remind you to subscribe to the Active Texan podcast wherever podcasts are available. And while you are there, give us a 5-star rating. Thank you for listening to the Active Texan.